about freedom. Rhonda's testimony basically summed up my entire message, so we can go home and beat the Methodists to lunch. Amen? Maybe not. Why? You should have already eaten plenty of cake and donuts this morning. In Exodus chapter 20, we have what God has entitled the Ten Commandments, and we've been looking at these the last couple of weeks, and really the idea is that question, are we living free? Are we living free? I mean, has God intended for you and I to live? And this morning I've entitled my notes, this jumble of stuff I have in front of me called The Great American Idol, and I'm not talking about the TV show. Talking about ourselves, our own lives, and our own ideals, and those types of things. And if you and I are honest with ourselves, and we just for one moment just throw away all the stuff in life and just get honest with ourselves, all of us will admit that there are days when God says this and we say no. There are days when God says, I want you to go over here, and we tell God we're not going to do it. We want to disagree with God. There are days, there might even be moments where we disagree with God, we defy God, and we disobey God, just all right then and there. If we're all just honest with ourselves, we find ourselves in a situation where we think we have a better plan, and then we follow that plan, and we find ourselves trapped. I mean, I wonder, Jocelyn, if that little mouse woke up this morning that you caught, or Ashley Cole caught another one this morning. We've got two mices that are no longer in the church. Mouses, mices, meeses, whatever they are. Thank you, mice. I wonder if that little sucker woke up this morning and said, I'm going to run out in this Sunday school room so I can get caught. Put into a bowl and a book. And jostled around. I think it's dead! I wonder if that's the plan the mouse had when it decided to run out from its hiding place in the junior high Sunday school classroom and see if it could grab a donut. High school, whatever. Wherever it was. I'm sorry, you're not a junior higher. You squealed like a girl when it came out. You acted like a man when you caught it. You acted like a heathen when you shook it. But I wonder if that little mouse, when it saw the nugget that it was going for, looked at all those giants in the room. Oh, I think I can get it before they get me. I wonder how many of us in our own lives look at the situation before us and we go, probably not a good idea, but I think I can do it anyway. And then we find ourselves in a bowl, or under a bowl, flat on a book. Not free, but now enslaved. In Exodus chapter 20, God says, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. I just wonder, every time I read that verse, I think, did God bring me out of bondage so that I could go back into bondage? Did God set me free so that I could live a life of a slave? Did God set me free? Did God get me out of jail so that I could just go right back into jail? I don't know if you ever watched the Andy Griffith Show. How many of you watched that show? Remember Otis? He could come and go as he pleased, right? I mean, the town drunk was responsible enough that when he had put on a good hooch, he just went to the jail, closed the door, laid down, and slept it off. He could come and go as he pleased. And I think so many of us as Christians look at what Christ has done as our freedom to come and go as we please. To just get out there and do whatever we want because, well, we're responsible enough. We can show up on Sunday, sit in our pew, sing our songs, do our thing, and then go back out there and live totally enslaved to the problems that we bring upon our own very lives. I'm reading in this Exodus chapter 20, and it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And I just want to write right here, verse 2, part B. So if you don't want to be enslaved anymore, let me give you some great things to live by. And that's really what the Ten Commandments are. Some great things to live by so that we're not going back and forth in and out of the jail cell. God says, I have set you free. What does Paul tell the church? I believe it's in Galatia about the death of Christ. That Christ died for what? The sake of slavery? Freedom! Christ died that you and I may be set free. We are born again, blood-bought believers who are not to live a life enslaved, but a life that is truly free. So I don't know if you want to, if you feel like you can do this or not, but in my Bible, I have verse 2 and just said, so God says, you want to live in my freedom? Let me give you some great rules to live by. And what is the first one? We looked at it last week. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. God says, I'm the one who set you free, and here's how you can continue to live free. Live in me. Live with me. He kind of says, you're responsible here. I've set you free. Now, here's how you can remain free indeed. Have no other gods before me. It's the first commandment. Look at it. If you look at any Ten Commandments, you go to my house, and on the refrigerator is Braden's Ten Commandments. He's learning them in school. He's memorizing them and putting them to memory. And he has a test every week on the Ten Commandments. It's already passed. He's already done it. He's got them, but we didn't take the thing down because the test was over. We kept the thing on the refrigerator to remind us all. And God says the very first thing that needs to take place in our life is that we need to remove ourselves from any other God. We need to remove our lives, cleanse our lives from all these other gods. He wants to teach us first. And listen, as kids, if we don't get the first rule down, we ain't going to get the others. I'm one of those guys that really believes that number one was written as number one. Number 10 was number 10. Not that 10 is any less important than number one, but the idea is if you don't start at number one, you'll never get to 10. Oh, I know, many of you are smart, Alex, and you think, well, I can count by twos, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I'm only going to have to go half the rule. Or I can count by tens, 0, 10. That's how most of us as Christians live. We try to cheat our way. We try to fix our way into that we don't have to do the entire thing. And God says, listen, I want you to start at the very beginning. And I'm one of those guys that believes that number one is number one for a reason. I think they go in order of importance. They build on each other. You gotta have this to get to here and this to get to here. And this results in this and this contributes to that. And the more we move on and get into it, God says, this is it. I want you to live free. I've set you free to be live free. Now look at these people in Exodus. They've been freed from Egypt. They're no longer the slaves of Pharaoh, right? They've walked across dry land where there was a sea. They've been given water out of a rock. They've been doing all these great things. And God says, see, I've set you free. But if you look at the Israelites, they're not living free. Even in this day in Exodus chapter 20, they're committing adultery. They're living lives of stealing from one another. They're lying to one another. They're going after one another's little stuff. There's all kinds of little false gods popping up there. And then all of a sudden, somebody has these great plans for a golden calf. These are all people that have been set free, right? These are all people that name the name of God. And they say He is our Jehovah. So God says, listen, you're not living free. You know, I wonder how many in the pews, from the second pew to the back pew, how many of us claim the freedom of Christ that are not living free? I wonder how many of us whose chains, if we actually were honest, still go all the way to the ground or attached to something. As Rhonda said, bitterness or envy or strife. And how long am I going to hang on to these things? Oh, I'll sing and claim that I'm free, but in reality, I am still chained and enslaved. How many of us really aren't living free? How many of you would say that God is the center of your life? You see, this is what the people are declaring in Exodus chapter 20. We serve the God who brought us out of Egypt. We serve the God who brought us across the sea on dry land. We serve the God who has defeated Pharaoh. We serve Him. And God says, really? Really? So, I mean, if you and I were honest with ourselves and we say God is at the center of our life, if my son, Braden, 7-year-old, says, Daddy, I want to follow you and I want to do what you have to say and I want to be the best boy that you would have me be, you know what I would do with that little boy? I would sit him down like I did last night. He had said this and yet his life showed something different. Simple little thing. I tell him to go upstairs and brush his teeth. What do you expect the boy to do when you brush his teeth? This is not hard, come on. I know you're full of turkey, but if you tell someone to brush their teeth, what do you expect them to do? Brush their teeth. Now this kid has one of them automatic battery-powered, super toothbrushes. Okay? Okay, so We listen and we hear the toothbrush. And we're just naive enough parents to go, well, I hear the toothbrush. He must be brushing his teeth. Wendy's in plant. No, she's doing her Bible study. I come upstairs. I'm carrying his blanket and his cow, thinking he needs these to go to sleep. And I walk down the hallway and I look in the mirror in the bathroom and here he is holding his toothbrush down here. Now, the thing ain't up and in his mouth. It's, and he's going, and it's got an alarm on it. It goes, that means you brush your teeth for 2 minutes, you're done. So I just stand there and watch him. Puts it under the water, and I'm like, hey, boom. Like, you're going to do that again. This time it's going to go in your mouth. And I stand there watching him. You see, he told me it was bedtime. I said, go do this. He gets up. I said, you're going to go brush your teeth? He said, yes. He told me he was going to do what I told him to do. He was going to be obedient. Is that not what we as Christians say when we say we're a Christ follower? If Christ says this, I'm going to be obedient. I wonder how many of us stand in the mirror going, I'm brushing my teeth, right, Jesus? So I tuck him in bed and he says his prayers. And he says, God, forgive me. Because I looked at him and I said, Braden, you know, telling me you're going to brush your teeth and then going upstairs and holding your toothbrush like this in front of the mirror and not brushing your teeth is deceitful. It's just like lying. It's a lie. You said you were going to do something and you didn't do it. That's a lie. And he recognized that and he went to bed and he said his prayers. And guess what he did when he prayed, laid his little head on the pillow? God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Wash me of all my sin. Amen. I looked at him and I said, son, did you mean your prayer? Do you really want to be washed of all your sin? Do you really want to be known as a person who follows? And we went through this whole conversation. I sat down with the boy and I said, listen, if you say you're going to do this thing and you're deceitful with me, your heavenly daddy, what makes you think God is going to look at you and go, I trust you? I believe everything that comes out of your mouth. And he looked at me with his big old eyes, and his 7-year-old does, and they wad up with tears. And as a parent, you go, yes. I at least made a point with that kid. I wonder how many times God sits down with us. He goes, listen, you say that I'm the center of your life, and I have set you free. Why are you still living in bondage? You look at yourself in the mirror. We look at ourselves as a church. We say we are free, but we live in the chains of bondage. So we cry out to God and we say, I'm going to exalt you, God. I'm going to exalt you, God. So I think God looks at us in the mirror and says, okay, let's sit down. Let's have a chit chat. Let's talk honestly about your life this morning. Let's talk honestly about your worship. Let's, God, you say you want to exalt me? Who is it that you seek to serve first in your life? Who is it that you seek to make sure is most fulfilled in your life? Who is it that you seek to make sure is satisfied in your life? Is it you? Is it your spouse? Is it your children? Is it your pocketbook? Or is it, God says, me? You see, if we say one thing and yet live another, we are not free. We're enslaved to that one thing that controls our life. God says, let's talk about your money. Let's talk about your marriage. Who's first in your marriage? So many of us in the church say, my spouse. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. If your spouse is first in your marriage, you got a problem. If God is not first in your marriage, you got a problem. You will be enslaved to trying to please that person or enslaved to trying to make that person please you. We've got everything backwards in the church and we're so fouled up and yet we will still stand here and say, I'm free, I'm free. Then we'll walk out the door with chains all over us. We talk about God being our God and yet when we look at our lives, He's not our God. When we look at the people in Exodus, they came out and they said, man, we're serving that dude because he brought us out of Egypt. And then as they met together in their little powwows and around their campfires and in their teepees, I don't know if they had teepees or not, but as they met together in their tents, They began to serve and worship multiple gods. The gods that already existed in that land that they were taking over, and the gods that existed in their hearts. We see them listed in the Bible as Asherah and Baal and Molech and Chemosh. And there's a whole list of them as we go down through the scriptures. And you know what is sad is today there are people in the church who will look at these lists of gods, little g gods in the scriptures that people would go after, and these idols that people would go after, and they'd say, yeah, but that was back then. We don't have those today. We don't have all these crazy gods listed out in different names like they had back in the Old Testament. Let me ask you a question. Back in the Old Testament, they had names for the gods of sex and the goddess of sex. They had names for the gods of fame and for the goddess of money and pleasure and comfort and the goddess of fertility and the goddess of children and the god of power and the god of promotion. Now, I know we don't have those gods as named gods, but how many in this room, just this small crowd today, anybody here ever struggle with sexual problems? Pornography and addiction in that area? How many of us in this room have ever struggled with financial problems? How many of us in the room have ever struggled with relational problems? Any of you ever had a spat with your spouse? How about employment problems? And I'm not just talking about being unemployed. I'm talking about getting the job you want and serving the Almighty ladder to go on up the corporate. Now, we don't name those as gods, but the reality of it is many lives in this room have been shipwrecked because we have chosen to go after these little g gods. We worship the bellies of ourselves, the flesh. We worship, I mean, I've only got four high schoolers up here that I'm going to yell at this morning, which all the others are chicken, aren't they? Bunch of girls and wimps all feeding themselves on turkey. But these four want to know Jesus. Just going to assume because you're here. Some of the struggles in your life. These two over here, they're not quite, you know, they don't want to admit they like girls. But you look at them and look, they're smiling. Cheeks are all rosy and red. They like girls. Now, these two over here, not interested in boys. You want to be spiritual, and you want to cook and sew and catch mice. Now, both of them are going, no, we want boys. Okay? Yeah, they do. Mine don't want boys, but mine got married. The idea here is those things can control your life. They can consume your life. And what controls and consumes you can also destroy you. But it's not just for these high schoolers. It happens in adult life as well. We go after all kinds of things and we go after these things and all Satan has done is he's just killed the names Asherah, Molech, and Chemosh, and he's just put it into modern day things like Aeropostale and what are some other crazy Rue 21 and I don't know. I don't go to the mall, so I really don't know. To me it's like Kmart and Walmart and Ventures and Blue Light Special and all them old ones. I don't know what the new ones are anymore. But God says, listen, do you really want to be free? God says, don't have any other gods before me. It's amazing. Let me just give you a quick illustration before I get into my message this morning. I have a wife. Her name is Wendy. I had to make sure that was in my notes. Now, Wendy has never done this to me, and to God be the glory, she never will. But hypothetically, if Wendy comes to me, or let's turn it around and put it all on me. If I come to Wendy and I go, Wendy, I really love you. I love you so much. You're just the love of my life. We've been married 22 years. We've got three wonderful kids, great ministry and all this. But you know what, honey? You know what? I love you a lot. And it's really, it's happening. You know, woo, I enjoy. But I'm thinking, it would be really cool if I had some other women in my life. You know, just one for starters. You know, here's Wendy, but I'd like to put one beside her. Now, I'm not stupid enough to immediately say I'm going to put one before her. I just want to put one beside her. Or maybe I'd be really smart and say I'm going to put one behind you. You're still number one in my life, Wendy, but I'd like to have a backup plan. Now, Wendy, where would you like her to be? I mean, I'm going to give Wendy the choice because everybody that works in the Youngberg family, even those that have been adopted in as toothless, smiling boys, understand the idea that this is Wendy,
and this is the world.
So we let Wendy make, she's not disagreeing. We let Wendy make the choices here. So Wendy, I'm going to let you make the choice. Of this one extra woman I'm going to bring into my life, do you want her before you, beside you, or behind you? Your choice. I know what my wife is thinking. She says, I'd like that woman right there. Now, seriously, church, I mean, if we just simplify this thing, the first and second commandments come to, the first one is no other gods. And then God says, let me make it even more specific in number two. Do not make for yourself an image. Notice how God says you are not to make for yourself. You don't get to go out there and create for yourself some other God that you're going to put beside me, before me, or behind me, right up there with me. You don't get to make that choice. Because if you do, that God immediately takes my place, and that God will enslave you. Not just for a time, but will enslave you unto destruction. See, God is the same way as Wendy. Let's just ask God personally this morning. God, where do you want these other gods in my life? Where do you want these other gods in my life to be? Do you want them in front of you? No. I wouldn't put them in front of you, God. Do you want them beside you? God's going to say no. How about right behind you? God's going to say no. I don't want you to have any other gods, because those other gods will seek to destroy you. So let me ask you a question this morning as we really come to a conclusion. Who's your God? Now, I know many in this room, again, I said this morning as I started, this is a small crowd. This is an intimate crowd. I know you're probably pretty much like the people in Exodus. You're pretty much like the people in Joshua's day, just a few years past where we're at in Exodus, who says, he's our God and we're going to serve him. I know you in this room, we say, he is our God. Well, I think there's a problem in our thinking today. We have functional gods. And we have the actual God. We have the functional gods who meet our needs. Let's just suppose that you're one of these young ladies down here at the front. I'm going to pick on them because, well, I'm their elder and I have dirt on all of them. So it's a little easier to pick on them than it is Margaret. And Margaret's already had a bad week. Let's say you're a young lady. And you have this idea of what heaven is and what hell is. And right now, for a young single woman, heaven would be a really tall, dark, handsome, beefy, intelligent man, right? You got the picture. I'm getting the smiles. I'm getting the picture, right? And hell for you is single. No man. That's your definition of heaven and hell. Yeah, it'd be great if he's a Christian, all these other things. So my functional God is this man, and I'm going to seek after this man. Or maybe you're a person who doesn't have a lot of money, and right now that's hell, and heaven would be enough money to pay my bills and to do these things. Or maybe your heaven is the right job that will provide all these other things, and hell is, well, where you're working right now. Or maybe heaven is the spouse who does all these things for you. And hell is your current spouse. Each of us have a defined functional heaven and a defined functional hell. And we will do everything to get into this functional heaven and everything to stay out of this functional hell. And God says, this is the problem in the church today. This is the problem in the pews today. You all have functional gods. Ladies, if you're looking at a man to satisfy you, there will come a day where he will not satisfy you. Men, if you're looking for a woman who will satisfy you, that woman will not satisfy. Parents, if you're looking for children to satisfy you, amen, they will not bring you ultimate satisfaction. Doesn't mean you don't love them any less. Doesn't mean you're not proud of them. But if you look to them, they will one day let you down. If you're looking for a job, if you got some Pinterest thing pinned that you're looking and dreaming for, it's not going to cut it. If you think you get 2 billion Facebook friends and then you'll be satisfied, no, you won't. If you could just get the right thing, We look to so many things as functional gods. And we don't look to the one God who makes every need possible. So he says, don't have any other gods, but don't make any other gods. Let me just give you some quick things. How to find your functional God. I think all of us, I know I have functional gods. Ben brought them out in Sunday school. If you weren't in my Sunday school class, talk to Ben. He'll define for you my functional gods. Question number one, who or what do you live for? Who or what do you live for? Do you live for your marriage? Do you live for your children? Do you live for your family? Do you live for a promotion, a job, a house, beauty, sex, pleasure, comfort, leisure, sport, peace? And I know I have it right here in my notes. But Pastor, those are not bad things. There's nothing evil about marriage, is there? No. Nothing evil about children. It depends on whose children they are. There's nothing evil about... No. But the problem is these things become our God when we seek after them. It's what we live for. It's what consumes us. And don't doubt for a minute that those things can't consume you in a heartbeat. Who or what can you not live without? I just got to have this. You lay awake at night, if I could only have this. I have to have it. Or maybe this is the better way to put it. You lay awake at night and you go, God, please don't take this. That has become a functional God in your life. Who or what do you run to in times of need? It's been a horrible, no good, rotten day. If I could just get home and sit in my recliner, put up my feet and put on my comfy PJs and turn on the television, if I can just get there. Well, what's wrong with that, Pastor? Your home is supposed to be a place of safety and security. Is that what you run to in your time of need? What if that home is gone? What if that lazy boy gets thrown down a flight of stairs? What if it catches on fire? What if? What if that which has become your functional God is removed from your life? Where do you find safety and shelter and comfort then? What causes your highest joy and your greatest grief? When KU wins that national championship again this year. Oh wait, they didn't win it last year. Our emotions will betray us in a heartbeat. What is the center of your life? You know, so quickly we throw it out there and we say, God is. Back 15 years ago, there were these little books that were about this size and they were called Franklin Day Planners. Any of you nerds ever have one of those? Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Wendy. Now they're called smartphones. Barbie and I were checking our calendars just this morning. It's all on here. It's all right there at the flip of a thumb. I can find it, I can get it, and I can plan my day out, I can plan my schedule out. Is he the center of our life? Are our schedules planned around him, or do we plan him around our schedules? God loves to set people free. It's what he does. But then he looks at us and says, now live free. Live free. Don't have any other gods. Just don't. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Because we've grown up with this idea that there are things that are given to me in life that are there to make me happy. We have this mindset in our heart that says, but doesn't God want me to be happy? The answer is yes. God does want you to be happy. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know what I've got planned for you. I've got a future planned for you. I've got a hope planned for you. God has the best plan for our life. God says, I want you, Sydney, to be happy. Problem is, sorry, Sarah's not here. It's her fault. So if you get mad at her. And Jody, my two guinea pigs, so it's you two. Problem is, we do what? Well, this is what makes me happy, God. And God says, no, it won't. And we say, yes, it will. Do you have a Christmas list yet? You do, don't you? Yeah, look, yeah. Don't tell me. But what on that list that you got, is it written down? Okay, if you could go to that list that's written down and you go, I don't really want these. But you look at it and you go, there is no way on God's green earth or Satan's evil hell that I'm going to get these things. But it's still on your list, isn't it? And you go, I know why I'm not going to get these things, because number one, Santa's not bringing it. Not that there's not a Santa, I'm not saying that. And those of you read between the lines that know what I'm saying. But because I've gotten in trouble before when I said these things about Santa. But the idea is, you know that there's a reason you're not getting these things, right? But you go, but I would be really happy. And the people who are buying the gifts go, no, you won't. And you know in your heart, and we all know this in our heart, it's all in there. We know that the one who truly loves us best and most, the one who loves us unconditionally with a love that has started from the beginning, we know that he knows the very best for us. And we know in our heart that even though, number four, it's on your list, number four, isn't it? It is. Thank you for playing along. Number four is not going to happen. Because. Now, the reality of it is, Jocelyn knows that number four not going to happen hurts. I really wish number four would happen. I think number four would make me happy. But she has a choice to make. Does she believe that her desire or the one who truly loves her more than anything in this earth, his desire is best for her? She has a choice. And that's where commandment number two is. Don't make for yourself a graven, carved image of a God. God says, I am God. Don't make another God. The responsibility lies here. And we know, church, as we gather in this place today and sing the songs and hear his word and read his word, we know that God knows what's best for us. And we know what we think we want. And God says, you have a choice to make. Follow me alone as God, or create your own God. You create your own God, that God will lead to your destruction. Number four might seem cool for now, but in the end, it will be your destruction. Now, these are people that God led out of slavery. This morning, many of you gave testimony of what Christ has done in your life. The rest of you were silent for whatever reason. I didn't give you enough time. Fine. You've got the rest of the day to go out there and tell people what Christ has done in your life. Let's not let it just be words that we come into this place and say, he's my God, he's set me free. Let's let our lives show true freedom. Every one of us in the pew has a functional God. Something we have created, and we've sat there and we go, this makes me happy. This is just what I need right now. I got it, and I'm going after it, and I've got it. Picture my mind, and I'm set my schedule, my budget, and everything is there. And oh man, when I get this, I'm going to be so happy. As soon as you got it, you replaced it with the next thing. Functional gods will always leave you empty. But the actual God of creation, who has set you free, will make you free indeed. As our instrumentalists come back up, I just wonder this morning, how many of us truly are, as Rhonda said, ready to let go? How many of us God has shown in our lives, there's something in our lives that we have created that has become our God. We believe we deserve it. It will make us happy. We believe we're entitled to it. We've worked so hard for it. We've sacrificed so much for it. He's gotten his. When do I get mine? We all have those mentality running through our hearts and our heads, and we all have those things that we look at and go, man, if I could just do this. Tomorrow it'll be something else. So let's choose today, right here, this moment, that he is our God. that He has set us free from the penalty of sin, for sure. But what about the power that still looms in the, as my brother here says, I still remember everything I used to do and how I used to do it. I'm right there with Him. I still know how to do all the stuff I used to do. I still know how to behave the same old ways. You go shopping on a Saturday after Thanksgiving, you can figure out how to act like a goober. You can fall into the same old traps. But if He set us free from the penalty, the Bible also said He set us free from the power. So why don't we live free? Simple answer, choose not to. I just choose to buy into the lie that I'm no better. I choose to buy the lie that I can't change. I choose to buy into the lie that number four is better than what God has for me. I choose. No longer, church. No longer. Let's make this Christmas season the beginning of choosing. Choosing to trust that God has set us free and we will live free. By first and foremost, getting rid of all these other gods. Pastor, how do I do it? I'm going to give you a real easy chance to do it, real simple this morning. As you stand to this invitation, this is called an altar up here. I know it's not very altar-ish, but it's an altar. There's prayer benches. There's Jesus. There's a cross. Won't you take in your hand the thing that you have made, created as God, the thing that you center your life around, this thing you seek for ultimate joy or sadness. Maybe you need to take your husband by the hand and lead him down here, or your wife, or your kids. Give you a real live opportunity to stand and walk down and lay it and say, God, I'm getting rid of this, and I'm walking away. I'm going to give you a real live chance to stand. And to hold on to that thing that Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4 says, don't make for yourself. God, I've made it. I put it here. I'm done. I'm getting rid of it. Come and lay it now. And walk away. Not hold on to it anymore, as Rhonda said. Father God, this is Your time, not mine, and certainly not anybody else's in this place, to do what we want to do, how we want to do it. Father, you taught Your people to pray, have Thine own way. God, Your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we want to seek You. We want to follow You. We want to surrender to You. God, You have declared us free. Lord, I pray that today the chains would fall. We'd lay down our gods and we walk away from them. Live free in the name of Jesus.